Finally, opening night here at the Golden One Center. And who do the Kings take on? The same team that they saw when this all ended last year. The reviled Golden State Warriors coming to you from the Golden One Center. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. A huge night for Sacramento for the Kings. Big night for Kyle Draper once again. He's got the call once again.
Yeah, I'm fired up, man.
California.
We got a blackout out here. Black T-shirts on every seat. And for the people on YouTube, hold on, Whitey.
Yeah.
They can't see me. Your boy Drapes is right here. I'm here. I'm right next to him. I'm efforting my camera on my laptop here. But, no, I'm fired up. And I'll be honest with you, Whitey, now that I think about it, I know we've seen the Warriors a lot over the last couple of weeks, but I'm glad they're our home opener tonight. I'm glad there's a little added spice. You know, I wouldn't want to open up, let's say, against Houston
right.
or somebody. Like, this is a big game, and this is a big game not only for the Kings and the city. And so I'm fired up for this one.
You know, I was reading today NBC Sports Bay Area, the great Monty Poole, who's a great writer and a great guy. He was writing about this rivalry, and I think this is kind of the Bay Area view of it. He said right now these two teams are on the edge of a real rivalry. And I guess that's how they look at it down there, because they don't want to give the Kings that little extra bit. You know, it's like, well, they haven't beaten us yet, so it's not a rivalry. Make no mistake, when Steph Curry is doing the night-night,
right.
when Steph Curry is doing light the beam, no matter what the writers say or what the players say or the coaches say, this is a real rivalry right now. And I think that's why it's so important for the Kings to make their presence felt tonight.
All due respect to Monty Poole. But who makes him the arbiter of what's a rivalry or not? Like, did he go to Webster's or something like that, or dictionary.com? You can feel it. We saw it in a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Steph doesn't do the night-night. The fan base isn't on edge, and the starters don't play deep into the fourth quarter to the final buzzer of a preseason game unless there's a little bit of added emotion to it, a little added juice to it. And so, no offense, Monty Poole, who I'm sure will be in the building tonight,
great.
But you're wrong on that. This is definitely a rivalry right now.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's it, though? From their view, they're trying to say, well...
Right, you're not on our leg. You can't beat us yet. And
yeah.
That's weak. I hate that. Trust me, Draymond Green even talked about how it's a rivalry. Draymond Green stomping on my guy Sabonis. I tell you what, the moment he did that, they were my mortal enemies.
Mm-hmm.
They were my rivals. Mm-hmm. And so you may not think that, but trust me, 17, 18,000 strong in here tonight, they consider this a rival.
You know, Kyle, in some ways, it's too bad Draymond's not here. But the Kings do have an opportunity tonight because there's no Draymond Green. The Warriors are still sorting some things out. We touched on that yesterday. Klay Thompson doesn't seem quite right. Chris Paul is just, it's interesting. Chris Paul, and I understand it because he's Chris Paul. He's not coming in and saying, oh, I'm trying to fit in. He's saying, this is what we're doing when I have the ball. So they got to figure all that out. They got savaged on the backboards in the last game. My point is, I'm not saying forget about the Warriors. They're terrible. But I'm saying the Kings have a real opportunity tonight against this team.
Yeah, they do. And I think not only to make a statement around the NBA, but make a statement to the Warriors as well,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You know, this is a chance to show them that, you know what, you know, the days of beating us, the days of making fun of us, doing night-night and all that, you know, it's over. And, you know, I thought the playoff series, you know, we earned a little bit of respect from the Warriors, but you got to do it now when it matters the most, and I think this is a big game tonight to do that.
I have to tell you, and I was telling RJ before we got started, every time I come in here, I just take a moment to look around, and this building, the Golden One Center, it's absolutely amazing. And it just, every time I come in, I think of the old building. And I remember there was a time when I used to look up at the top of the old building, and I used to wonder if Sacramento could ever get this done. And here it is.
Here it is.
That alone, no matter how the team's playing, the team's playing great. That alone is something that I think we need to celebrate on nights like today.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I was out here earlier this morning. You know, you got Tom's Watch Bar right across the street right there. And so it's a whole vibe down here at Doco now. And fans were out here earlier. They were fired up. And so this has turned into a sort of a destination,
mm-hmm.
a hangout place. You know, you obviously have the arena. You have all the restaurants and everything. And then you got the 7th Street corridor right here as well. And so, no, this is a you know, a chance to not only – and it's a national TV game tonight.
Right.
Let me say that, too. You know, obviously I know everybody will be watching on NBC Sports California or listening right here on Sactown Sports 1140, but the nation will get to see Sacramento and these Kings fans tonight.
What do you think it is? What is the appeal nationally? Obviously the Warriors are a big part of it. Everyone loves watching Steph. But what do you think is the appeal nationally of this rivalry right now?
I think it's the old guard against the new guard.
I think part of it is the crowd.
Yeah, and the crowd. Yes, the crowd energy for sure. And, you know, we'll get to see that tonight, obviously. But it's sort of, you know, the Kings came away, a Harrison Barnes three away from knocking off the champs, you know. And so
I remember that.
Yeah, it's sort of like Mike Tyson about to get knocked out, but he survives. And the next time he sees Evander Holyfield or whatever, you know it's going to be on. And so that's what it is tonight. You got the heavyweights, the well-respected organization in Golden State against the young upstart Sacramento Kings.
I saw some numbers today, and Chris Watkins just mentioned some numbers. His were a little different than these. This is the 11th time in the last 15 games the Kings have played the Warriors. I think Chris said nine. It's incredible. And at some point, the Kings got to get it pushed back the other way so that the Warriors are the team on their heels a little bit.
Yeah, and think about it. You know, you go back to that playoff series, Whitey. The Kings held a 2-0 lead.
I know.
And so the Warriors won four out of five in the playoff series. They won two in the preseason as well. So the Warriors, they've won six out of the last seven meetings against the Kings. And so they're feeling confident. That's why this game is so important.
How about that one that they didn't win, though? Remember that down there when the Warriors had
game six?
They just curled up in a fetal position.
Yes, and that the Kings showed me something that night because I think everybody had wrote them off at that point. And there's no way they're going to go down to Chase Center on the road. The Warriors a chance to close out a team. And the Kings put the, you know, stomp on them. You know, they curb stomped them. And so, you know, that showed me something, that game. I need to see it again tonight here at home, though.
What would you say is job one for the Kings tonight? If Coach Brown says, Kyle, come on in here. I want you to address the team. Tell them the most important thing they have to do tonight is. What do you tell them?
Limit offensive rebounds.
Ah.
Limit second chance opportunities.
Please.
Yes, please. They didn't do a good job in that in game seven, obviously. They did not do a good job of that in the season opener in Utah. And so that's a way you can neutralize Kevon Looney, right? Mm-hmm. Keep him off the offensive glass. And Steph Curry is one of the best in the league on second chance opportunities. Like, those are dagger threes that he makes. Looney gets the rebound, kick out to Curry, knocks down the three, crowd goes wild. It's sort of backbreaking. And so it has to be one and done tonight if you're Mike Brown's squad.
I think you hit the nail on the head. If I could add one thing to that, that's one A for me would be, look, there's going to be a lot of emotion. Don't get caught up in the emotion. Play hard. If there's a bad call, we can't afford to jaw with the officials because we got to get back. Yeah. We're not that good defensively. Can't give up any possessions because we're getting caught up in the emotion of this game. That's a real test for a young team. Yeah, it's emotional, but you got to focus on what you have to do or you're going to end up, when the final buzzer sounds, frustrated again and go, how come we can't beat these guys?
It sounds like you're delivering a message to me, too. Like, Kyle, it's only one game. Don't get too emotional. Don't blow your wife.
Well, you can.
Okay.
For them, you know, no, they got to. They can't afford to get too emotional.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I guess it's a good thing that Draymond's not playing tonight because he's the kind of guy that, you know, can rile things up and get you out of your game. And that's something, if you're De'Aaron Fox, if you're DeMontis Sabonis, you got to stay even keeled. You know, you want to get emotional after the win? You want to start talking some trash after the win? I'm all for it. But I think this Warriors team, you know, minus Draymond, Steph doesn't bring that out of you, does he? As a player?
No, but you know who does.
Who?
Is the newest Warrior.
Oh, it's Chris Paul. Oh, yeah.
He just got here.
Right.
You watch. He's going to make his mark in this rivalry tonight.
You're right. I forgot about Chris Paul and, you know, selling foul calls and, you know, getting up into – oh, my gosh. He's like a gnat. He's, like, so annoying. So you're right. If you're De'Aaron, if you're Malik, all those guys, don't fall for that.
Right.
Don't fall for those tricks that, you know, Chris Paul and when Draymond's healthy, those kind of things that they do.
It's funny you said that because I was thinking the exact same thing. Without Draymond, they don't have any.
Right.
Oh yeah. I forgot about it.
I was like, they got Wiggins ain't going to do it. You know,
no,
Wiggins ain't going to do any, but darn, they got CP3. You're right about that.
But Moses Moody. Well, pardon me, I meant to say Malik Monk, the other M squared.
Yeah.
Malik Monk, I think, is the closest that the Kings have to that kind of guy.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes. And we saw it the other night in Utah after that dunk and the flex on Chris Dunn. And so I think with Malik, the emotion is a good thing, though. Like, I think, you know, Malik Monk is one of those guys that, you know, thrives off of that.
He can play that way.
Not everybody can. But I think about it. We saw it last year in the playoffs against the Warriors, averaging 19 points. Like, he got up for that matchup, and he stayed up, and he had a great playoff series. But you're right, not everybody can do that. I will say this, though. When you talk to people inside the Kings organization, one thing they say about De'Aaron Fox is you don't want to go against a mad De'Aaron Fox. You don't want to poke the bear. When you wake De'Aaron Fox up, you know, then it's trouble. Then he's really trying to take your head off. And we saw that when he was in college as well, going against Lonzo Ball back in the day, you know, when UCLA and Kentucky faced off. That was the big matchup, and De'Aaron just schooled him in that matchup. And so, you know, I think De'Aaron can play at that level. I think Malik can, but like you said, not everybody can thrive in that.
I would predict there's going to be at least a couple skirmishes tonight between De'Aaron Fox and Chris Paul. We saw it in the preseason. Remember when he was making fun of Chris Paul's flop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's, if anybody's going to fire up De'Aaron Fox tonight, that's a matchup to watch, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good one to watch. And let me ask you this, though. What do you think the impact of this crowd will be tonight? Will they be breathing hot fire?
Yes.
You know, will the crowd amp up this game? And so it's going to be it's crazy. It's opening night. It's already a big game, but this is going to be playoff kind of intensity from an anger, from a rivalry kind of standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I think that definitely works in the Kings' favor. You would think, although last year, we all know the Kings kind of underperformed at home last year. So they got to start turning that around starting tonight on this very special night.
No, 100%. You know, if the Kings want to get to where they want to go, home court has to be protected. You can't go 23-18. You can't be a better road team than you are a home team. And it starts tonight.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come right back, how big do the Kings need to be tonight? Drive Guys continuing. Opening night finally in Sacramento from the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports. Here in Sacramento as we get ready for the Kings opener. Another special night in Sacramento tomorrow night. Homecoming night for Sacramento State football. Saturday versus Idaho State, kickoff 6 p.m. Come early, enjoy the festivities. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. We've got some special guests lined up to help us celebrate and observe this special night. Tim Roy, who, he's the voice of the Warriors, but he was a longtime voice of the Kings. And Tim is going to broadcast right next to us. Tim is probably going to stop by around 4:30 or so. Former Kings coach and former Warriors GM Gary St. Jean is going to join us today. And Saint is he has a unique perspective on this rivalry. We look forward to talking to him, and he was pumped about the chance to come on with us. Emil joins us today at 4 o'clock to talk about the 49ers and the Bengals. And then I know you got your friend Chris Mannix coming up.
Yeah, my guy Chris Mannix coming up at the bottom of the hour next segment. And remember, he wrote that article. He had talked to some NBA scouts about the division, the Pacific Division, and the Sacramento Kings. And I think he was high on the Kings during the regular season, but maybe not so much during the postseason. We'll talk to him about that as well.
Do you think the Kings need to – you touched on this during the crossover – do they need to maybe play a couple bigs tonight? Do they need to try a bigger lineup to take advantage of the fact that the Warriors are, frankly, quite small?
I don't think so.
Come on.
Dude, you've been talking about this big lineup ever since you spoke to Alex Lynn.
That's right.
On Media Day. And so if I'm Sacramento, I'm not adjusting what I do to them, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see, because if you go that double big lineup, is Domantas Sabonis really going to guard Andrew Wiggins? Is he going to guard Jonathan Kuminga? And so I think from a defensive standpoint, going to that double big lineup does not help Sacramento. So that's why I don't think Mike Brown will go with it tonight.
Do we know what Trey Lyles' status is for tonight?
He is out tonight. Yeah. Yes, he is out.
They could use him tonight, huh?
Yeah, they could use him. Trey could, you know, he could play that small five for you, or he can play that four alongside Domas. And that was so interesting the other day against Utah. The bench played extremely well, and we're missing one of our key guys in Trey Lyles. He adds another dimension, a guy that can shoot the three, obviously. You talk about a guy that plays with a little bit of an edge that has some of that in him. And so, you know, he'll be missed tonight, still dealing with that calf injury and hasn't practiced or anything like that. So, you know, they'll miss him tonight, no doubt.
Well, you asked the question, why would the Kings want to change up? Why don't they do what they normally do and have so much success with? But I'm reminded of the first game of the playoff series right here last spring when we saw, hey, Alex Lynn is out there. Now, that wasn't a two-center, two-big lineup, But Mike Brown did feel the need to switch up a little bit to take advantage of what he perceived as a Warrior weakness.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I thought Alex Len played well.
I did too.
In that series, too. Like, I thought, and, you know, I imagine the first big, you know, will be JaVale McGee off the bench, you know. And so that's
he leads the league in field goal percentage.
Right. Hey, man, that's what he does. Running hooks, 15-footers, he can do it all. But, you know, you get behind Kevon Looney, and the Warriors don't have much size.
Nope.
You know, they got Sarge that they play at the five, so they go a little small. And so maybe the Kings can take advantage without even going with a double big lineup. I'm talking when JaVale McGee comes in and when Looney's on the bench, maybe they can take advantage then.
They got the youngster who played so well down there in the preseason, Davis. Dale Davis.
Trace Jackson Davis.
He played pretty well.
Yeah.
But he's a little unproven in the regular season.
Yeah, he is. And but they were high on him, a late second round pick, but was a standout at Indiana. And so we'll see, man. He had a big game in that preseason.
Yeah, he played really well
game.
In that game.
He played pretty well. But now, no offense, Trace. I mean, this is the big dogs. This is like, this is for real. And so he might get some minutes tonight, though.
Yeah, so he gives them, correct me if I'm wrong, the Warriors have five players whose dads played in the NBA?
Yes.
That's remarkable.
Yes. So we just talked about Trace.
You got Wiggins.
We got Wiggins. You got Clay.
Mm-hmm.
You got GP.
And Gary, you got Steph.
And you got Steph. There you go, right there. Man, that is crazy.
It is.
Do we have any? I don't even know if we have any, right? JaVale McGee's mom played in the WNBA.
That counts.
I need to think. Well, Domantas Arvydas Sabonis. There you go. That's an obvious one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, no, that is a weird anomaly.
Mm-hmm. The Warriors were out-rebounded in their first game by the Suns, 60-49. And I know after they lost that first game, Steve Kerr said, second chance points, that's what killed us. And one of my first thoughts, frankly, was, well, now you know how Kings fans feel.
Welcome to the club, Steve Kerr. We live that every night, right?
We did last year when we played them in the postseason. But that's, I think, one area, as you said, if you're going to attack the Warriors, that's where you attack them. And the Kings have to shoot well tonight. And they shot the three ball well in the opener. A handful of guards did not. But I just think if you're going to go toe-to-toe with this team, there's a lot of things you got to do. But if you don't shoot well against the Warriors, I mean, you're really minimizing your chances to beat them.
Right, exactly. And, you know, obviously they're an elite offensive team. And so, you know, I think it's going to be hard to win a game 93-87 against this team. Like, you got to score points against Golden State if you're going to beat them. And so, you know, they're elite for a reason, man. But I think our guys will be up to it. The fact that we, you know, we're able to score 130 the other night with, you know, De'Aaron Fox going 6 of 18. Malik Monk 2 of 9 from 3. Kevin Huerter as well. And so the fact that you were still able to put up 130 points where guys really didn't have any great offensive night, that's encouraging.
I got to say, you're starting to take this Huerter talk personally, aren't you? I
mean, nah, because people need to lay off my guy. It bothers me. We already know the guy's struggling. We don't have to harp on it, talk about it, that kind of thing. Let the man work through his issues. Kevin Huerter's a veteran in this league, a guy that helped you get to 48 wins in the number 3 seed, and now some people out there are just trying to throw him to the curb, trade him for a bag of chips. I'm like, this guy helped in the streak, helped in the drought, and so give him some time to get back into shape. That's why I think he's going to have a big game tonight.
I'm just asking you theoretically here, so, you know, you don't have to get
Don't get worked up.
It's just, you know, because it is something a lot of people have talked about. Let me just phrase it this way. How long can you afford to wait? What kind of leash do you give Kevin Huerter if he continues to underwhelm?
I said 10 to 15 games. Like, I'm not going to, you know, 3 games in all of a sudden hit the panic button, take him out, because and we've talked about it before. If you remove Kevin Huerter from the lineup, let's say you do that, what value is he on your team then? Because Malik Monk is your sixth man. So now he's behind Duarte, Malik Monk, and he's the third. And so then you lose him, I think, for the season. And so if I'm Mike Brown, and we talked to Matt Barnes about this when he was on our show last week, it's a delicate situation. You got to instill faith and confidence. You got to stick with him. And you know what? You should be deep enough where you can survive a 1 of 5. It's not like Kevin Huerter is hurting you that much. I will say I was upset defensively when he got beat backdoor 3 times in a row by Jordan Clarkson. To me, that's a no-no. The shot, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about, you know, defensively, are you getting it done? And mm-hmm. I'm sure Mike Brown is too.
Yeah, he's a real asset when he's playing well. And so you have to manage that asset. You can't afford to just, well, you're sitting down then. You're not playing. That doesn't help you.
Right.
You know, yeah, you have a deeper team than you had in the past, but Kevin Huerter has some things that can, as we saw last year, he can really help you when he's playing well. So you have to do everything right. you can to try to help him to get back to that level.
He was such a big part it's of huge. This team last year. I mean, the spacing that he brings out on the floor, even if he's not hitting the shot, teams still have to pay attention to him. And that's what we saw last year. And so, you know, I said it before. For his sake, I need to see him come out and make some shots just so I can see him having fun, smiling again. I think three threes, Whitey. Mark it down.
Okay.
Three threes in the first half for Kevin Huerter tonight.
Who, not to put you on the spot, who do you think he's guarding tonight?
That's a great question.
He was guarding Clay last year.
Yeah, I think he could check Clay. I think he could check Clay. Especially they go with that small lineup, too, now.
Yeah.
With Draymond out, they started Chris Paul the other night. Mm-hmm. So you got two point guards. And so – and remember what I said, too, you know, in that playoff series, the coaching staff felt Kevin Huerter did an admirable job against Steph Curry. I don't like it. You know, I'd rather him not. I'd rather see De'Aaron.
Do you know nobody knows that what you shared with us about that?
That's inside info.
Yeah, nobody knows that. And, I mean, people that know basketball, they go, I don't know why Huerter was guarding him.
Right.
It's really fascinating.
Their numbers indicated that Kevin Huerter did a good job on Steph Curry, which is crazy to think. You would think Davion, you know, but the numbers, and sometimes, you know, this is why analytics sometimes can backfire instead mm-hmm. of the eye test. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think he's matching up with Clay to start tonight's game.
Though. Coming to you, of course, from the Golden One Center, getting ready for Sacramento's opening night. And, of course, Kyle's been getting ready all day for bringing us the game Mike side once again. Back-to-back games. This is a back-to-back for you.
Yeah, this is a back-to-back. I'm fired up,
no
man.
Load management for him.
Exactly, and it's a game day, too. And it's been a crazy day, Whitey. For some reason, I booked two appointments today.
You have two jobs. You don't book two appointments.
I know. On a game day, I'm like, I learned my lesson, dude. I was scrambling to get down here. I had to stop at the FedEx. And it was crazy, man. But I'm good. I'm ready to go. I got my notes. I'm fired up.
That's poor clock management, I got
to
tell you.
It really is, you know. I had to take the kids to school. I mean,
well, yeah, you got
to
do that.
No,
okay,
do I really, though? Shoot. When we were growing up, we walked to school back in the day.
Right.
Nowadays,
right.
These kids can't ride the bus. They're not biking to school. Man, don't get me started on my kids and how spoiled they are.
Do you get to meet with the other team? Like in football, the football telecast, I know it's, you know, it's only one game a week, and you have meetings.
Yeah.
Do you get – what kind of access do you get to the other teams, other coaches, any of that?
Kind of as much as you want kind of thing. Like, you know, I could have went to their shoot-around earlier uh-huh. today. You know, Steve Kerr will have his press conference. He'll be there. I can go in the locker room, obviously, just like the regular media.
Yeah.
Nothing special, though. But, you know, when it's on national TV, they get all the, you know, I know. Nobody cares about that, right? National people blowing in trying to take our shine. Forget that.
Very exciting night here. When we come back, you know, with the Kings on the national stage here, how have the Kings earned this spot? And the national spotlight. We'll find out when SI.com's Chris Mannix joins us next. It's the Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One Center on opening night in Sacramento. Golden One Center, the Kings and the Warriors tonight. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, courtside. And we're privy to some of the festivities we're going to be witnessing tonight. It's going to be an exciting night.
Yeah, don't you like seeing this, though? You
I
get
do,
like
I
a
do.
Sneak peek of what it's going to be out here tonight when this place is packed.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And nice enough to join us, outstanding SI.com senior writer, the one and only Chris Mannix. Happy opening night from Sacramento, Chris. How are you?
It is wrong to already be annoyed by Draper's relentless optimism. Like, it just one sentence out of his mouth just bothers me. It just already bothers me.
Let me say this, Chris, and I hope you can hear me. You and I, we've known each other for a long time. And
too
you
long.
Know one thing that I am is I keep it real. This Sacramento Kings team is a very good team. Not because they pay my paychecks, not because they keep the lights on at the Draper household. The eye test tells me this Kings team will be in the mix in the Western Conference.
You categorically do not keep it real. Let's just put that out there first and foremost. I do, and I will agree with you that, you know, there's no reason to believe that Sacramento can't pick up right where they left off. I think there's room for organic growth there, specifically in the form of Keegan Murray, who I think is going to have an improved year from last year. There are some question marks, though. I mean, you know, this team won a lot of games last year on the back of De'Aaron Fox being the best fourth quarter player in the NBA. Can he be the same guy? Can he take a step forward? Can they take a step forward as a team defensively? And look, I don't need to tell you guys, the Western Conference at the end of the season, I think three games are going to decide like the four seed and the 11th seed in that conference. I think it's going to be that competitive and that good. So I think the Kings are going to take I have a chance to be better, but it's a dogfight every night.
Chris Mannix with us from SI.com. You alluded to Keegan Murray, his potential growth, but how challenging, to the point you just made, Chris, how challenging is it going to be for the Kings to improve on that season they had last year, and how much of that improvement is going to hinge on whether or not they can play better defense?
I mean, I think all of it, frankly. You know, I was talking to a couple of coaches about the Kings as we were writing our preview issue with the magazine, and you know, they were very complimentary of the players the Kings have. Like, the front office has done just an outstanding job of assembling that roster. But there were things Sacramento benefited from last year that I don't think they're going to benefit from this year. And that's most notably is teams, you're not going to surprise anyone this season. I think last year, you know, teams kind of went in, played Sacramento, and said, you know, like they probably thought of it for a while as an easy win. And Sacramento, I think, benefited from that. They also benefited from having one of the best home crowds in the entire NBA. So there was a lot of things working in the Kings' direction, you know, for the Kings last year that maybe aren't going to be working for them so much in this season. Teams going to be up to play them. They're going to know what they're going up against when they come into Sacramento. They see Sacramento coming in on the road. And, you know, the Kings got to be ready for that. They're going to get, you know, their opponent's fastball, you know, much more often than they did last year.
Chris Mannix, SI.com, my guy from Boston days. You know, Chris Mannix used to be a Celtics ball boy back in the day, during the heyday. And just ask him, he'll tell you.
Yeah, even in my ball boy days, Draper, I was not as, you know, green team oriented as you were. I mean, you were.
Yo, dude, come on. Don't paint this narrative that's not true. I was the only one. Remember, I work with Tommy Heinsohn. I work with Scal.
Dummy
Those
boy.
Guys were the green teamers. I had to balance that out, Chris. You understand that.
Because I can actually, you know, remember days of like you talking about Marty Conlin for like the All-NBA team or, you know, something of that along those lines.
This guy is, yeah, you can tell he's lying right there. All right,
Chris,
let's get back to Chris. I got a question, though, serious question about this, because you know our guy Kevin O'Connor, KOC. We know Kevin O'Connor. You know John Hollinger. What do people have with Domantas Sabonis? How come this guy, a three-time All-Star, third-team All-NBA, still gets disrespected out there by some?
It's entirely about the defense, right? Like, there's no question Sabonis is one of the most effective offensive players at his position in the NBA. The numbers across the board improved last year. He's a playmaker at the top of the key for that Sacramento team. You know, he's shown he can do virtually everything offensively. And defensively, he'll rebound, that's for sure. We'll at least give you that. It's just you can exploit him on that end of the floor. And I don't pretend to know what, you know, my colleagues in this business are what's on their minds when they say or write anything, but we're now looking at Sacramento through a different lens, right? We're not looking at this being the Kings team that is poised to end a two-decade-long playoff drought. We're looking at this as a Kings team that is now expected to advance beyond the first round, maybe beyond the second round in the Western Conference. I think the criticism of Sabonis is rooted from that. I mean, people probably don't think that Sabonis can be a starting center on a championship-level team. Maybe the Kings aren't quite there yet. They're still pretty young at some key positions. But, you know, I think you got to realize that the expectations now are going to be a lot higher, you know, nationally and across the board than they were last year. And the critiques of Sabonis will always be rooted in his defense. If he comes out this year and plays, you know, at a higher level defensively and they improve to, say, a middle-of-the-pack defensive team, which is really all they have to be. They don't have to be top 10 because their offense is so good. But if they improve to a middle-of-the-pack defensive team, I think they can be, you know, the questions about Sabonis will quiet out quickly.
Chris Mannix, you mentioned that the Kings, of course, surprised the NBA last year. What surprised you, Chris Mannix, the most about the season the Kings had last year?
I mean, their effectiveness in the fourth quarter. You know, they were such a young team. You know, even though Fox has been around for a while, Sabonis has been around for a while, you've got a lot of players at key positions that, you know, just aren't that experienced. And sometimes when you have guys like that that play big minutes, you fold in the fourth quarter. The Kings also, by the way, benefited from ridiculous health. That was something else that came up when I was talking to coaches. There were a lot of injuries, you know, last season, you know, beginning early in the year. And the Kings had a remarkable run of health for most of this season. So I think that's
Mannix, I'm going to cut you off, Mannix. You know, hey, I'm not going to let you get away with BS on our show here. The Kings, sure, man games lost to health, very few. But Sabonis played through a broken thumb. Keegan Murray had an injured thumb. I maintain, and maybe this is the homer coming out at me, Chris, that our guys played through a lot of injuries that other teams would not have played through. And so this whole narrative, they benefited from some help.
I can't speak to that, whether or not they are tougher than some other teams, but Draper, you know, every team in the league has guys playing through something. You go into a town in November, December, and you're already hearing about sprained ankles and bruised feet and bump, banged up knees. I mean, guys play through tough stuff all the time. That's not to take away from, especially a guy like Sabonis that did play through, you know, a significant injury. But, you know, they had their guys on the floor, and other teams did not. And all I'm saying is they benefited from having those guys active, whereas other teams maybe did not.
Chris, the Kings and the Warriors again on the national stage at ESPN game. In your opinion, what is it about this matchup? And I know the Warriors are fascinating and everyone loves Steph, but what is it about this matchup that makes it a national draw?
I mean, the offenses, I think, are going to make it a draw. I mean, you've got two teams that play up and down are among the most, you know, exciting teams to watch in the entire NBA. And I think more importantly this season, they're peers. I mean, they're going to be battling for, you know, playoff seeding probably right down to the final couple of weeks of the regular season. I mean, it took seven games to decide that series last year, and if they meet again, it wouldn't surprise if it took that long once again. So I think it's interesting aesthetically because you've got all offense all the time from both these teams, but more than that, you know, it's competitive. I mean, we just saw the opening run of national games, the Lakers against the Suns, last night the Bucks, you know, against the Sixers. These teams are peers, and now with the Kings and the Warriors, you're also talking about two teams that are considered peers at the moment.
Chris Mannix, SI.com, joining us. Chris, you touched briefly on it. What's the ceiling for this Kings team, you think? Like, what's it going to take? Is it just the defense? Does Sabonis need to take a leap? Keegan Murray? What's it going to take to be a contender in the Western Conference?
I think defense, you've got to get – I mean, I don't know what their – I forget what their efficiency number was last year. I'm sure you guys know, but –
23rd
it was,
last year,
yeah,
I think it was.
I think they've got to get inside that, you know, top 16, 17, you know, move up five or six spots to be a real contender in that conference. I mean, look, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that with improvements, this Kings team can get to a conference finals. I mean, this is an incredibly deep Western Conference, but it's not as top heavy as, say, the Eastern Conference is. The Eastern Conference is really two teams and everybody else is kind of vying for a consolation prize, at least at the moment. The West, yeah, Denver is leading the field, and they look really strong early on, but we don't know what we're going to get health-wise from, you know, the Phoenix Suns. They already had two guys out in their second game of the season. You know, the Clippers, same questions. Is their health going to hold up? I mean, I think the ceiling for this Kings team at a minimum is the second round, and I could even push it all the way to a conference finals. I think I've been a believer in Keegan Murray from day one. He was, you can go back and look at some of the stuff I've written about him. I've first summer league, I watched him play and watched him shoot. You know, I thought this guy was legit, and I think he's going to take a step forward in terms of being able to play off the dribble and do some other things we didn't see from him last year. If he takes that step forward, they're going to have a whole bunch of guys that can shoot, a whole bunch of guys that can score. If they can just improve a little bit defensively, they are going to be really tough to beat.
Chris Mannix, thanks for your time. I just last week I broke down and finally got an SI online subscription, and you're one of the big reasons why. So we appreciate your work, appreciate your time, and thanks for keeping Draper on the straight and narrow, sir. We appreciate that as well.
I can't with Draper. Like, I swear I'm going to have to take a nap after this because he's already annoyed me in this 10-minute conversation. I can't with his takes. I can't with the Kyle Draper take.
Don't listen to Chris. He sends me a Christmas card every year. You know, he wishes me happy holidays every year. So appreciate you, Chris, man. We'll get up soon, bro.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, guys. Take care.
All right.
Chris Mannix, SI.com. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. We'll try to figure out why everyone is so down on Domas Sabonis, following up with Chris Mannix's comments there. And so far, so good for Dame and the Bucks, an early peek around the early goings in the NBA. It's the Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One Center opening night in Sacramento on Sactown Sports. Opening night from the Golden One Center. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper, thank you for being with us. We know we're having a few issues with the YouTube feed. We're working on that feverishly. We appreciate your patience. Martin in the chat, you're right, Martin. He says, I hear the dog pound. And yes,
DPG,
do.
Yeah. That's the halftime entertainment tonight, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, you got some connections here, right, Kyle?
Yeah, what you need?
How is it that I don't think this is too much to ask. As I mentioned on the crossover, you know, I've worked in Sacramento a long time, and that's fine. Allen Styles just got here. I mean, literally. Like days ago, and I get in here and I'm getting ready, you know, and you were running your appointments and stuff, and so I'm just checking the media seating. Where am I sitting tonight? Oh, I don't have a seat. Allen Styles has a seat. I don't have a seat. Come on. Are you going to help me out with that?
Hey, man, that's not me. That's on you. I don't know who you talk to. You know, the same people that, you know, were here when you were, you know, broadcasting back in the day, they're gone now. Why? There's a new crew here. I'm just saying.
You can come in, but you can't sit. But Allen Styles, Mr. Styles,
Allen
right
Styles.
This way.
I think Chris Watkins might have, you know, made sure. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about that.
Oh, you got, like, Frankie's right there, and Chris, and Alan, my buddy John Dickinson from the Bay Area. It's like,
tell you is, your seat's down there next to me and Katie.
Oh, okay.
You get to be courtside, not up here with the fleebs, you know, up here, you know, the wannabes. Come on, you're hanging down with the big dogs. Don't
I'm
worry
just
about
glad
it.
To be in here. I'm just kidding. I'm just, for the most part, mostly kidding. Just glad to be in here for this wonderful opening night tonight. What is the deal, though? We just talked to the great Chris Mannix from SI.com. Yeah. And again, he's talking about Sabonis, and you asked, why is it that so many national writers are kind of, they just don't seem to be believers in Sabonis? And he says, well, he can't be the center on a championship team.
Right.
Chris Mannix knows basketball. We know
but
that.
That's baloney, right? Like,
well, I think, as I said earlier, I think what it is a lot of the writers look at that and say, oh, he's their best player, and he's not that good, so that's not a championship team. But as good as he is, he's not supposed to be the Kings' best player.
No, you're 100%. He's not. He's the second best player. De'Aaron Fox is the leader of this team. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, really grinds my gears, if you will, Whitey, is when people say, well, he can't be the championship, you know, the starting How many championship-level centers are there in the NBA?
I don't know, but I will say, not to dodge your question, but there have been a lot of teams that have won championships with centers that are not all-world.
Golden State.
Yeah.
Golden State. Exactly. Right. And so, you know, is Embiid a championship-level center? Maybe he is, but he hasn't done it yet.
Have a ring.
You can't achieve that until you do it. And so then, you know, it used to be like Kevin Garnett. Oh, he can't be a franchise player. You can't win. Well, then he goes to Boston. You win, and then that whole narrative changes.
Right.
And I think until Sabonis helps lead this Kings team deep into the playoffs, that's what it's going to take for him to get some respect.
I mean, no disrespect to him, but it's possible that by the end of the year, he's the Kings' third best player, right? Or maybe next year, if Keegan Murray becomes the player
that
they want him to be. And again, that's nothing against Sabonis, but I think that's maybe one way where people are not really seeing what's going on here.
Especially in this day and age of basketball, where did all of a sudden you got to have a dominant defensive center, you know, to win. Jokic isn't a defender.
It's not 1978
anymore. Right, exactly. And so he could be one of the pieces. He doesn't have to be the guy. He doesn't have to be Embiid. He doesn't have to be Jokic. And so I think Sabonis is good enough. I mean, the job he did the other night in Utah, I thought was tremendous. And so what upsets me is, you know, you get this reputation and this narrative, and then it just starts feeding on itself to an extent. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening right now with Domantas Sabonis.
If you look at the season that he had last year, and then you look just at the box score from the opening night, if you look at those numbers and the way he played, not just the numbers, but everything, the way he played, and say, that's not good enough, then you're just looking at it wrong.
Right. Exactly. And it's the eye test, what he brings to this team night in and night out. You can mark him down for 19, 12, and 7, night in and night out, but he adds so much more to this team. I always said, De'Aaron Fox doesn't take this leap without Domantas Sabonis, without that trade. And so what he's brought to this team and this franchise can't just be measured in some analytics or on some box score. This guy has helped change the culture of this franchise.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to CP3 against De'Aaron Fox. I was disappointed, I know we touched on this earlier, that, oh, no Draymond against Sabonis because I'm expecting fireworks at some point there. But I'd forgotten, oh, yeah, De'Aaron Fox against Chris Paul.
That's going to be good. Yeah, exactly. And I said it yesterday, Foxy has to come out and be the best player on the floor tonight. This is a nationally televised game, even though our people will be watching and listening on the local broadcast. But this is a chance for De'Aaron Fox to prove something on a national stage against future Hall of Famers Chris Paul and Steph Curry. And so, no, it should be an exciting time. And I got faith in Fox. He usually gets up for big games. Let's not forget, he was playing tremendous in that playoff series before breaking his hand.
Hey, what did you think last night of the Bucks? You're very high on the Bucks. And what did you think of the Lakers of that big win over the Suns?
Lakers, nice win. You know, they still got some things to work through. I think, you know, some of the new pieces, they still have to figure it out. They still needed 35 minutes and a huge late performance from LeBron James. I thought the Bucks looked tremendous. I thought Dame and Giannis looked great. And
they got whatever it is you got to figure out, they haven't figured
it
out.
They got to figure it out. And did you hear what Giannis said after the game about it being Dame's team? Like, think about that. Giannis is arguably two or three best players in the world, and he said, no, it's Dame's team. And he came out and had a huge debut in a Milwaukee uniform.
Yeah, Lillard said after the game that he looked at Giannis like, what do you want me to do? And Giannis said, finish him. You're the finisher.
Right.
Go finish him. That's what we need you to do. So, yeah, there's no, you know, there's nothing between those two where whose team is it, who's getting the ball, they've got that all figured
yes,
out.
Yes, they do. And Dame time was showing up in Milwaukee. He brought it from Portland, and he looks like the same old Dame Lillard in Milwaukee.
When we come back, John Hollinger, what do you think of when I say that?
Oh, my gosh. That guy?
John Hollinger, yeah. Kings discreditor John Hollinger has done it again. And we will revisit the John Hollinger campaign to disrespect the Kings when we come back to the Golden 1 Center opening night for the Kings in Sacramento on Sacktown Sports.